I look apparently a lot like my father. And I want to put up a slide, Stephen, if I can get into the homily slides. I look a lot like my father, and this is a picture of my dad. The resemblance is uncanny. One of the things I discovered, you know, like all dads make this same noise when they get up off the couch. When they're on the couch, they make this as they get up off the couch. But I used to laugh at my dad because at a certain point, he started making another noise. There was a noise, the noise when he got up off the couch, but he'd start making a noise when he got into the couch too. When he sat down, he'd be like, ugh. And I said, you know you're getting old when you start making a noise when you're sitting down, not just getting up. Next year, I'm going to be 50, and the resemblance is getting more and more. I'm starting to make all those noises too. And in fact, I made that noise as I got down a couple of weeks ago over at some friend's house. I got down on the floor to play with their kids. They have twins, and one of those twins is my goddaughter, and this is a picture of her and her sister. They're twins, and so every once in a while I go over to visit them. And what usually ends up happening is I get down on the floor to have a tea party with them. Well, they're 14 months old. A tea party, I found out, consists in just banging a cup on a table. That's a tea party if you're 14 months old. But I get down on the floor, and after 15, 20 minutes of playing with them down there, I get back up, and it's like, I'm making a lot more noises than my dad used to, is getting up off the floor now. But getting down to their level is so important. It helps me see the world through their eyes. It makes me more accessible and relatable to those little toddlers. You know, my goddaughter lately isn't too partial to new faces. At least that's what her mother tells me. Maybe it's just my face she's not partial to these days, but she seems to, you know, strangers, she's a little leery of strangers. And I guess it makes sense. I go over every 3-4 weeks, and so she doesn't remember me from the last time I was there. And so this strange face, this strange voice, she doesn't want to have much to do with at first. So in order to be less imposing, less scary, I have to get down to her level. I have to try and see the world through her eyes. I have to get down there, and within a few minutes, it doesn't take long, but within a few minutes, she'll let me hold her, she'll let me bounce her on my knees, and by the time I'm leaving, an hour later, she's blowing me kisses goodbye. Today is Christmas. This is the celebration of the Nativity, which means a celebration of God throwing off the trappings of being God in order to become a human being. And not just any human being. He does not become some rich and powerful, you know, prince, ruler, warrior, anything like that. He becomes the most humble of all human beings, a fragile newborn baby. And that's the most incredible thing about God, that God becomes one of us. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. This God, the fact that God comes down to our level so that he becomes accessible to us, relatable to us, so that we can know that he sees the world through our eyes. You know, my little goddaughter, she doesn't know how much I care about her, how much I pray for her, how much I love her, and I want to be there for her. And so she needs me to be relatable and small so that she can accept and trust me. Trust me to pick her up and bounce her on my knee. Trust me enough to give her a hug. Trust me enough to know that I love her. There's a passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah that I really like. I only really discovered it earlier this year, about a month or so ago. But I love the imagery it presents. It's, Isaiah is saying, "For thus says the Lord, you shall nurse and be carried on her arm." Heaven's arm. This is, God is comparing, is talking about heaven at this point. He says, "And you should be dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." You know, I had to look up that word dandled, didn't know what it means. And it means actually to bounce a baby on your knees. That's the actual literal, I didn't know there was a specific word for that. Next time I find it in a crossword, I'll know this time, the next time out. But I love the imagery that's used there. I love this comparison that God is saying that heaven, in heaven, he will hold and comfort us. He will dandle us on his knees. That's the God we have. A God who just wants to be an adoring mother. A God who loves us so much that he wants to hold us in his arms, make sure everything is okay, bounce us on his knee, all while we smile and know that everything is going to be right in the world because we are loved. And all he wants from us is the same thing I want from my goddaughter, that she'll blow me a kiss. The passage from the prophet Isaiah, that was written 700 years before Jesus. That was written almost 2,700 years ago. And so God has longed for us for centuries and centuries. God has wanted us to know just how much we are loved, just how much he wants to be close to us for centuries and centuries. And tonight we celebrate, we celebrate the fact that he came down to us so that we could know that very thing. So that we could know how much he wants to be with us, how much he wants to be relatable to us, how much he wants to see the world through our eyes. In fact, when God emptied himself and came down from heaven to become one of us, as the Christ child did on that first Christmas, this is so much greater than we can imagine. This is so much greater than me or you or anyone getting down on the floor to play with a little toddler. Because when we're down there at that level, anytime we want, we can just stand back up, groan a little bit if you're me, but stand back up and become the grown-ups we are. But when the Christ child came down to us, he didn't just bend down to our level. He didn't just come down to play with the baby. He actually became the baby on the floor, or in the manger in this case. He took our form forever. Jesus wasn't Jesus until he became the baby Jesus. Doesn't mean he didn't exist. He always existed. But he was the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God, as we heard St. John talk about today. When he says, and he tries to explain it by saying, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And he goes on to say, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us." Personally, I like it better in French. In French, that last line is, "Et le Verbe s'est fait chair, il a habité parmi nous." Le Verbe, the verb of God, the active, creative, life-giving force of God, who stripped himself of all of that glory in order to become the least among us, a fragile newborn baby. It's the verb of God who came down to us. It's the verb of God who knows what it's like to be fragile and dependent on others. It's Jesus who knows what it means to have those you love betray you, deny even knowing who you are. It's Jesus who knows what it means to suffer unjustly, who knows what it means to love someone so much you're willing to lay down your life for them. That's the Jesus. That's the God we come to today. That's the God who died for us and wants nothing more than to hold us in his arms, to bounce us on his knee, and tell us that nothing can ever come between his love for us. Nothing we say or do, nothing we think or feel can ever make him love us less. That's the God we love and we worship today. That's the God I love imperfectly. That's the God I worship sometimes half-heartedly. That's the God who I'm sometimes unwilling to even blow a kiss to. Yet that's the God who wants to come into my life once more today. That's the God who wants to come into your life and see the world through your eyes. And he doesn't care how messy your life is. He doesn't care if you have, you know, that proverbial pasta sauce, not only all over your face, but all over your life. He doesn't care how messy it is. All he wants is to pick you up, clean you up, and make sure you know that you are loved. Will you let him? Will you let him hold you? Will you come and adore him the way he adores you?